It is 11:01 and you are listening to Local Focus Tuesday here on the Morning Mix with Maya on WTSQ 88.1 FM in Charleston, West Virginia. I am joined on the phone by Lindsay Goodman, who is the principal flutist of the West Virginia Symphony Orchestra. She's going to be performing this Sunday at St. John's Episcopal Church for a special free event that is offered to the public at 4 p.m. Lindsay, how are you doing this morning?
I'm wonderful, Maya. Thank you so much for taking time to speak with me, and it's a delight to talk with you in the WTSQ listening audience.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your morning to talk with us. And what I would like for, just to kind of start things out, if you could kind of tell our listeners a little bit about yourself if they're not familiar with you.
Well, I am a flutist. I'm a soloist, a recording artist, a chamber musician, an orchestral musician, an educator, and clinician. I am especially inspired by collaborating with living composers, and that's a lot of what we're going to talk about here today. The Charleston listening audience there might know me as the principal flutist of the West Virginia Symphony and from my chamber and solo concerts in Charleston over the past 17 years.
So you're no stranger to performing and putting these types of events and things on. You've been doing this for quite some time.
Absolutely. Yeah, I made my my professional solo debut when I was 16, and I'm looking forward to this January, my Carnegie Hall solo debut to celebrate the release of my fourth solo album, In the Company of Music.
So, oh, wow.
It'll be a lovely full circle moment of 30 years as a soloist.
That's pretty amazing. That is definitely, you know, one of those things that I feel a lot of musicians would love to have that opportunity. And that's really fantastic. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. I'm really looking forward to it. That concert will be presented by my album, my record label, Parma Recordings, and they're just wonderful people who are incredibly supportive of my career and of the composers and performers they represent.
So your new album just came out this month on the 6th of September. What has kind of been the reception and how has that been, you know, received in your, not only just in your realm of music, but as a whole?
I think it's been received really well. What's special about this particular album, which is my fourth solo release, is that it's an amazing combination of four solo flute works and four works for flute and piano with the incredible pianist Claire Longendijk. And they're all works by living American composers, but they really run the gamut. So it's been interesting. You know, I speak to other musicians, I speak to composers, I speak to my friends, I speak to my family. And it's always interesting that so far everyone has a different favorite piece off the album. So I think that.
Oh. Did we just lose you? We might have just lost Lindsay. I'll wait and see if she can hear me. She might have accidentally also hit the mute button there. So we'll wait here just a moment. If nothing else, I will give her a call right back. The phone is still connected, but we were just talking with Lindsay Goodman, who is the principal flutist for the West Virginia Symphony Orchestra, is going to be performing on Sunday. Oh, are you back?
I am. Very apologetic. My goodness, the love and hate relationship with technology continues for each one of us, does it not?
I understand. I was just telling people while I was waiting to see what was going on about your concert on Sunday that you will be performing at St. John's Episcopal Church. So just kind of filling them in and just reminding them, you know, who you were and things like that. So I'll let you kind of continue on what you were speaking about with the album and how you said that you have pertaining to friends and family members, each of them have a favorite piece, but it's always the different one for them.
Absolutely. And that's what's wonderful about this album is that there's a number of different genres. So with eight works, if you don't like the first one, go to the next one. That's probably your favorite. There are all different sorts of music. And I think that's really unique within the realm of classical new music.
It really is. And I was listening to the album, you know, last night. I was kind of getting things prepared. I was listening and reading all about you. And you have a very, very interesting career as well. But, you know, I was listening to that and I was hearing that. I was hearing the different feels and the different just types of music that are being played on this album. It really does have something for everyone on it. And it's a great album.
Fantastic. I'm so glad that resonated with you as well, Maya.
So do you have a favorite composer? I know it's hard since you work with so many different people and there's so many different pieces and things that you do perform, but do you have someone that is a favorite or someone who you feel is kind of a kindred spirit when it comes to what they're writing and your style and what you like to play?
Oh, that's such a terribly hard question. You know, as someone who is really an advocate for living composers, living American composers, underrepresented, for instance, female composers, it's really hard to pick just one. And mm-hmm. so I don't mean this as a cop-out answer, but I truly believe that whatever composer I'm playing at the time is my favorite composer. I think that that lovely triangle between performer, composer, and audience is so important to us as we really connect with other humans through mm-hmm. sound. And so whoever I'm working on at the time is honestly my favorite.
No, I mean, that really does make sense because you're really, you know, you're giving, you know, all of your creative energy and everything into this piece. So it becomes a part of you as well as you're learning it and beginning to play it and things when you perform it. So I completely understand that, how that becomes your favorite at that time. I feel like a lot of people would say that even too, of sometimes when they're reading a book, the book that they're reading at that time is their favorite book, but then it changes when you learn and find a new one. So,
yeah. Absolutely. And to paraphrase one of my favorite, no longer with us composers, Igor Stravinsky, music is one of the only art forms in which man realizes the present. And so that idea of connecting with an art form in the present is so important, just as you said, like with a favorite book or a show or a movie, same thing with music.
Yeah. And I love that you work with living composers. You know, so many people, mm-hmm. when they are finding works and they're wanting to do something, you know, they're picking those songs that have been played over and over again. They're great, great, great works of music. But I love that you're finding, you know, people that are current, people that are creating new music now, and people that are making things now, so that you're helping to celebrate those composers that are out there still working and possibly making the next big classical piece that will live on through history.
Absolutely. That's one of my favorite things to say. Beethoven never returns my calls. He wrote amazing music, but he's not available to go for coffee. And I think that the living creators who are breathing, eating, looking at the same world outside our windows and through our computer screens and experiencing the life that we're experiencing are creating the music that should be the soundtrack of our lives.
Yes, I think that that's beautiful. And I really do love that's part of what you are doing. So your performance on Sunday, tell us a little bit about what we can expect on Sunday. And again, it is going to be at the St. John's Episcopal Church here in downtown Charleston at 4 p.m. It's a free event to the public, and it's an all-ages event. Tell people what they can expect from this.
Yes. So this is the opening of the Concerts at St. John's series. And my colleague, harpist Joe Redman, and I will be performing a program we call Myths and Songs. And so there are a number of works by living composers that touch on mythology, from the winged Pegasus to the different nine muses from Greek mythology to older works by no longer with us composers, which invoke song, works from operas, works that are meant to be sung. So we have this nice dichotomy of current and favorite classic composers to create this mythical, fabulous journey. And as you said, it's a free event at 4 p.m. with a reception to follow. I hope that everyone can come and enjoy some beautiful flute and harp music with us.
I think that's great. I love that there is so much stuff going on now in downtown Charleston, and I really encourage people to, you know, dig into. We normally post a list every week letting people know about all of these events, and there is truly something for everyone in downtown Charleston in terms of music. You know, when we have these beautiful classical performances going on, you know, it's not just punk rock, it's not just southern rock, things like that taking place in downtown Charleston. We do have some very beautiful, you know, orchestrated pieces and things like what you and your partner are going to be doing on Sunday. I think it's great.
Absolutely, yeah. Downtown Charleston is hopping with music. That's what I have to say.
So I want to talk a little bit about how you got into playing the flute. Was this your first instrument, and who inspired you?
Well, that's a really fun story. So the truth of the matter is that I don't remember a time when I didn't know how to make a sound on the flute. My father played flute in his junior high and high school days, and through his travels as a young adult and early adult, he kept very few possessions except that flute that he had learned to play on. And so when I was a toddler and it was my father's turn to put me to bed, he would get out his flute and play the few songs he remembered, his high school alma mater and fight song, for instance. And so some of my earliest memories are my father playing the flute for me and teaching me how to make a sound on the head joint. So as they say in Harry Potter, the wand chooses the wizard.
That's awesome. I love that. And then, yeah, I don't really hear that very often when someone will say, you know, what inspired you or who inspired you. I don't hear all the time someone say my father, you know, or my mother. So I love that you have that as one of your first inspirations as growing up and listening to that. Who were some people when you were growing up that, was there anyone out there that you were kind of mimicking or that you were once trying to be like when you were learning how to play?
Well, I was very lucky to have a number of really fantastic teachers as a young adult. I studied with Robert Langevin, the principal flutist of the New York Philharmonic, and I studied with Walfried Kujala, the principal piccoloist at the Chicago Symphony, who were absolutely amazing mentors, and I studied with many other teachers in master classes and for lessons throughout my young adulthood and into my adulthood, and I'm grateful for the lessons each of them taught me. I think one thing that's really interesting is that as a woman in the field, there are lots of flutists who are female, but a lot of the flutists professionally at the top of the field are male. And so I found that most of my life I was forging my own path in exactly what I wanted to do. And I encourage everybody to be their own role model.
Yeah, I love that. That is fantastic. So let's play a song for everybody. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Lindsay Goodman, who is the principal flutist for the West Virginia Symphony Orchestra. And she's going to be performing on Sunday at St. John's Episcopal Church at 4 p.m. Let's play a song off of your new album, as we stated, just came out this month. And you picked the song Lava. Tell us a little bit about that song and what we are going to hear here.
Yes. So this is a work by Melissa Dalbora, who is a living American composer down in Florida currently. And she wrote this solo flute piece that, as she says, describes women's anger and how it will not be felt suddenly, but rather cover the earth slowly like lava. Oh. So I love the fact that her work speaks power to women's emotions.
That is wonderful. That's a fantastic description with this song that we're going to hear right now. So this is Lindsay Goodman and doing the work by Melissa Dalbora. This is Lava. You are listening to Local Focus Tuesday here on The Morning Mix with Maya on WTSQ 88.1 FM in Charleston, West Virginia. Thank you. composed by Melissa de Albora. That was the song Lava, performed by Lindsay Goodman. We have Lindsay on the phone, but first, before we go back into our interview, let's hear from our underwriters, the businesses and organizations that help to make things possible here at WTSQ.
Support for WTSQ provided by Bar 101, offering craft beer and spirits and fine wine. Located at 101 Capitol Street. Full menu and more info at Bar 101 on Facebook.
Support for WTSQ is provided by Taylor Books at 226 Capitol Street, supporting literature and the arts in Charleston since 1995, offering new and used books, author events, and a fine art gallery with live music every Friday and Saturday in the cafe. Full schedule of events at taylorbooks.com.
WTSQ support comes from Ichiban Pan Asian Restaurant, upscale Asian cuisine specializing in sushi, steaks, and seafood, located at 103 Capitol Street in downtown Charleston. More information at Ichiban Pan Asian Cuisine on Facebook and Instagram.
Thank you so much to our underwriters, Bar 101, Taylor Books, and Ichiban Pan Asian Cuisine. If you or anyone you know would like to become an underwriter with WTSQ, whether you're a business, an organization, or an event organizer, you can email us at info@wtsq.org and let us know. We'd be happy to share your message with all of our listeners. It is Tuesday, the 24th day of September, and we are talking to Lindsay Goodman that you just heard on that song that we played. And Lindsay is going to be performing at the St. John's Episcopal Church on Sunday at a showing that is free to the public, and it is for all ages, starting at 4 p.m. Lindsay, let's talk a little bit about where people can find more of your music, including your new album that just came out.
Yes. So a great place to start would be my website, which is lindseygoodman.com, L-A-N-D-S-E-Y. There you can find links to all four of my solo albums where you can stream and purchase those, including the brand new one, In the Company of Music, which came out September 6th from Parma Recordings. You can also visit my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/lindseygoodmanfans. And there I have a couple hundred videos of live performances of all different genres of music, from solo flute to concerti to electronic music. So lots of things to hear there. And then I also encourage people to find me on social media. I'm on Facebook and Instagram and all the places. And I would love to be able to share my music with the WTSQ listening audience.
That is awesome. One thing I did want to touch on just very quickly that I found really interesting as well. Not only are you a performing artist, you are also a teacher and teaching a new generation of flutists.
Yes. In West Virginia, I'm the flute instructor at Glenville State University, go Pioneers. And then in my home state of Ohio, I'm the flute professor at Otterbein University, and I also maintain an active teaching studio of private students from beginners through forever young learners, both at my home in Ohio and online across two countries.
So the thing that I love about just about with any instrument, there is not an age that you have to be in order to learn how to play this instrument. I love that with most any of them, even if you are in your 50s, 60s, and you want to pick this up, it is possible. And you are instructing people of all ages. And I think that's fantastic.
Yes, I think that the love of beauty and the love of being able to create, I think the love of being able to sculpt sound out of the air is a timeless tool, even though we might associate it with those fifth and sixth grade beginners in public school, which is where I started my formal training too. We can indulge in that love of music at any age, absolutely.
One thing I also found really interesting when reading about you last night and this morning is all of the awards that a lot of your students have gone on to win as well. That has to feel really good as an instructor and as an educator, that you know you have given these people the skills and things that they need, and they've gone on to receive such great accolades.
Yeah, I think that as a teacher, I think it's interesting. I am forever proud of my students, no matter what it is they're achieving, whether it's simply learning a note or going on to a career in music. But as a teacher, I think it's also important to let the students have their accolades as their own, right? So I'm always proud of my students, but what my students have accomplished is their accomplishment. They can hold that tight and be proud of it.
I think it's wonderful, and you are doing some beautiful, beautiful work and helping to create the style of the flute and the music going, and I think that's fantastic. So I would like to applaud you myself on your work that you're doing there.
Thank you. If there's no musicians of today, there will be no music of tomorrow.
Exactly. So you do have the new album that has just come out this month. Let's talk a little bit about that, and we're going to play a song as we wrap up our interview and things here. And so with this new album, you said there was a very interesting process of how the album kind of came together.
Yes. So Parma Recordings put out a featured recording opportunity last September, and as a call for scores to composers from anywhere for flute and piano. And we had dozens of scores pour in from dozens of composers, and it was such a delight to listen to all of that music. And then once we were tooling down and selecting the works for the album, I had the opportunity to have video conferences with each of the composers and play them my interpretations of their works, get their impact on and feedback on how to improve them. And then we recorded it in February of this year at WGBH in Boston with the Grammy Award-winning producer, Brad Michelle, who's a wonderful individual, and I really appreciate that whole team to make that recording process so smooth. And we had the composers either in person in the studio or, again, on video call giving feedback live. So it really felt like a very collaborative process, and I think you can hear that in the music.
I love that. And people can find this new album on I think, every streaming service that's out there. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Whatever you like. Spotify, YouTube, Amazon Music, Apple Music. It is out there in the company of music from Parma Recordings. Get your hot, fresh flute music.
And one thing that we discussed, if they missed it in the first part of our conversation, there really is something in this album for everyone. All different styles are represented. And definitely, as you were saying, if maybe the one song you're listening to isn't quite grabbing you, wait and listen to the next one. The next one might just be the one that really becomes your song.
Absolutely. Everything from popular music inspired to very experimental sounds, you're going to find it on In the Company of Music.
And now on your performance that you're doing on Sunday, again, this is at the St. John's Episcopal Church. It's part of their concerts at St. John's that they're doing this Sunday at 4 p.m. And you're going to be joined by another musician.
Harpist Joseph Rebman. He hails from the Cincinnati area. We are colleagues at the Mostly Modern Festival in Saratoga Springs, New York, which is a residential festival for 20th and 21st century music. There are both artist faculty members like Joe and I, and also students of all ages from 18 up with no upper age limit from all of the best conservatories and universities in the country studying music. And so the piece that we're going to end the program with is by that festival's artistic director, Robert Patterson. And I'd really love to share that particular piece with everybody. As I mentioned earlier, the program for 4 p.m. on the concerts at St. John's on Sunday is called Myths and Songs. And so the works by living composers are all mythological based. Rob Patterson's piece is called Pegasus. We can all instantly pick out that mythical image of the winged horse. Channel your inner 6-year-old girl right now. And it's a really beautiful piece. I think you can hear the hoof beats and hear the wing beats, and it's a gorgeous work for flute and harp.
It really is. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. And I do want to encourage everyone, you're going to see something here in Charleston that we don't see every day. And it is flute and a harp performance, again, this Sunday at St. John's Episcopal Church in Charleston, starting at 4 p.m. Again, Lindsay, tell people where they can find all the information about you again before we start our final song.
Yes, for music, for concert dates, it's lindseygoodman.com, LANDSEY, and I hope that you will enjoy my new album In the Company of Music, and I hope that you'll come and say hello after the concert this Sunday on the concerts at St. John's.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking time out of your morning to talk with me and our listeners, telling us a little bit about yourself and about this Sunday's performance.
Thank you so much, Maya. I really appreciate speaking with you and the WTSQ listening audience.
All right, so here it is. This is the song Pegasus for harp and flute. You are listening to The Morning Mix with Maya on WTSQ 88.1 FM in Charleston, West Virginia, Local Focus Tuesday. Thank you.
Thank you.